I didn't turn it on. Sorry. All right. Why don't we give God praise tonight? All right. Yeah, for reals, eh? For reals. Okay, at the count of three, we're going to praise Jesus, all right? One, two, three. That's right. That's right. Yes, amen. I want the neighbors to come over here and say, hey, can you guys keep it down, please? So I can tie them up to a chair or something. What, is this thing on? Amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. I didn't put my address on my thing. Luke 22, I believe. Yes. Luke 22, verse 14. We're going to start on 14. So, how many of you guys know what today is? Yeah, you're close though, eh? You were right there. You were right there. You're right. What's today? Thursday. What Thursday? What do they call it, Pastor Larry? Monday, Thursday, something like that. I'll spell it out for you guys later. Maudie Thursday. Yeah. Yes. Today was the big day. Everybody focuses on Good Friday. Everybody focuses on his resurrection on Easter Sunday. But today it began. Yes. Today was the day that he sat with his disciples. Today's the day where not only it's a day where there was a lot of mixed emotions, you know, a lot of emotions going through that room. You know, he started off powerfully. He sent a couple of the guys, hey, just head on over there. You're going to run into a man with a jar of water. You follow that man to wherever he's going. He's going to take you to a spot. Then you tell the owner, the master wants to use your room, and he'll lead you to a room, and we'll prepare the Passover meal that day, right? So he started off powerfully, saying, you know, this is what we're going to do. And throughout time, it seemed like, well, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. We're just going to go into what we have right here. You know, he got to a point. What's that? The volume, please, girls. Hello, test. No? Yes? So he got to a point where not only was it a strong day, but it was a sad day. Not only was it a sad day, but it was a day that he rejoiced in. What are we doing? Okay, sorry. So the Lord's Supper is a beautiful memorial supper where we are drawn together to remember the Lord's death till he returns. It's a time of serious reflection upon our individual lives to help us reflect on relationships with God. Okay? The time of supper is a time where we can reflect on our lives. Where we find ourselves really looking in the mirror to check yourself. How many of you ever checked yourself? You know, I do it on a daily. Get into in the morning in the bathroom. I look at myself and I say, bro, you better check yourself. Because the stuff that's running through my mind, the stuff that, you know, I'm thinking already, he better not tell me nothing, bro. Today's not the day. Today's not the day. And then I think to myself, man, that's not what Jesus would say. What kind of example are you? You know what? Let him talk. It'll be all right. At the end, the Lord will pull me right out of it. But sometimes we just have to examine our hearts, our minds, our motives, our ambitions, our thoughts, and our actions, so that we can, you know, see if we're lined up with God's will. See if we're in that spot where we're following God's word, where we're saying, you know, your will be done, Lord. Not my will, but your will. Let's read. Luke 22, 14. Starting at 14, I'll go to about 20, I want to say. It says, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for everything that you're doing right now, Father God. We thank you that today, Father God, you have pulled us out of this, out of our comfort zone. Yes, Lord. We thank you that today, Father God, you've chosen to speak to us, Father. Lord, we know the history. We know what's going on. We know what happened, you know, over 2,000 years ago when you sat in with your disciples, Father. But we desire to learn of it. Yes. Not just know about it, but to learn of it. To know what was going on in your mind. To know what was going on in your heart. To sit there as a disciple with you, Father God. We pray, my Lord God, that today would be the same. That you would speak to us. That you would have a fervent desire to sit with us and sup with us, my Lord God. For today, we glorify your holy name. Today, my Lord God, we remember back to 2,000 years. 2,000 years ago when you gave your life for us. And Lord, all we want to do is glorify you. All we desire to do is glorify you. So open our eyes, our hearts, my Lord God. Open our minds to what you have for us. And we just pray, Father God, that your spirit would roam freely right now, Father. As a matter of fact, my Lord God, take me out of this equation. I pray that you would speak to your children. Leave me out of this, Father. And Lord, I thank you, Father. Thank you for everything that you're doing. In Jesus' beautiful name we pray. Amen. So what I want to share with you guys tonight is found in verse 15. Okay. The original language of the Bible uses these words. With a fervent desire. Or with an earnest desire. Or with a great desire. I have desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. Before I suffer, he says. I'm not going to lie to you. I shed tears throughout the time I was reading this. Because it speaks to you, you know. Who are we? Who am I? Who am I that you had a desire to sit down and eat with me? So now, as I read that statement, I cannot help but ask myself these questions. Why? Why? Why such a great desire to eat this meal with the apostles? Why does this have such a longing? Why have you been longing to participate in this event? As I was thinking about that, another question came to my mind. Even if I understood why you would do this, why you had such a great desire, what difference does it make to me today? What difference does it make to us today? When we leave this place and go back to work or to school or get back into our lives on Friday, Friday morning as we wake up, what is it going to mean to us? Is it just another Thursday? It is these two questions that I hope to answer today. Let's start off with that first one. Why did Jesus have such a great desire to eat the Passover meal? I think as we consider the text and the events taking place before and after, it will lead us to two reasons why Jesus ate this meal with his apostles. The first one is because he was the Passover's fulfillment. He was the Passover's fulfillment. Okay? In Exodus 12, we find that the institution of the Passover. So you guys remember that story, right? The Israelites were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And God began telling Moses, hey, just go talk to this guy. Go talk to the Pharaoh. Tell him that's it. I want my people to leave. To let the people go. And he said, every time he went, he kept saying, no, no, no. You know, and went 10 times. And throughout those 10 times, it came to the point where God said, you know what? I'm just going to harden his heart. I'm not going to let him say yes. I'm going to harden his heart. And, you know, they went through all these situations till they got to the point where God said, I've had enough. We're going to have a Passover meal. And he gave them instructions on what to do, right? To kill the lamb, let me read it to you as a matter of fact. Exodus 12:3. It says, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of the month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his fathers, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next to his house take it according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goat. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on the night, roasted in fire without unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until the morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire, and thus you shall eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff on your hand. So you shall eat it in haste, so that it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Now the Passover was a picture of Christ. I want you to notice a few things here. In verse 3, we're to choose a lamb on the 10th day. Okay, that was the direction that God gave Moses. He said, we're to choose a lamb on the 10th day. Set it apart for the next 4 days to observe it and determine that it was worthy of being sacrificed. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey on the 10th day for all of those that were about to kill him to recognize him, to observe him. In verse 5, the lamb had to be without blemish. And we know that Jesus was certainly without blemish. He was sinless, right? In verse 6, it speaks about the lamb was to be killed by the assembly on the 14th day. Jesus was killed on the 14th day, the day of Passover. The blood of the lamb had to be applied to the doorpost to their homes, of their homes, in order for the Lord to pass over them in judgment. The blood of Christ must be applied to your heart, your life, in order for the Lord to pass over judgment in you. Do you guys get that? When the Lord passes through the camp in Egypt, when the Lord passed through the camp in Egypt, he was not looking for those people who were worthy or not. He was not looking for those that did great, for those that seemed to have been good enough. He was looking for the blood. And he does the same thing with us. He does the same thing with us. He's not looking for that one to be, oh man, that guy's super holy, man. Look at him. You know? He won't even kill a bug. Hey, look, he takes out the spider outside. Mira. That guy's holy. He's not looking for that. He's not looking for you. Oh, hold on, lady. And you run across the street and you help her cross the street. Then she tells you, no, I was going next door. I have to run back, take her back out. He's not looking for that. He's looking for the blood. He's looking for the blood of his son to cover your heart. That's what he wants. The Lord gave everyone in Egypt an opportunity. Hello, Jesus? Okay, easy, tigers. The Lord gave everyone an opportunity. Under the protection of the blood before he brought judgment. And he's doing the same thing today. He's doing the same thing today. You see, back in Luke, we read about the Last Supper that Jesus observed with his apostles on earth. But it was not the Last Supper that he'll observe. In verse 15, it says, "For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Until what is fulfilled? Until the Passover is fulfilled. Until the Passover is fulfilled. Sorry, I'm drying up. Let me share something. Until this week, I always thought and I believed that Jesus fulfilled the Passover and the events surrounding Calvary. Sorry. See, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of this world." And on Calvary, he did that. He hung there and said, "It is finished." He hung there and said, "It is finished." What was finished? Everything necessary to purchase salvation for man. And Jesus Christ did all of that necessary. All the things that were necessary for you and me to be saved. And not only you and me, but those outside. Those that don't know him. Those that haven't heard about this. He did everything, so that we could all be saved. Jesus Christ did all that was necessary for you and me to be saved. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. But listen, there's coming a day in the future when another meal will be eaten and you and I will be there, his people. Just as the Passover didn't take place in Egypt until the Lord gave everyone time to respond, Jesus waits for all who will respond. Jesus is waiting. Why hasn't he come? Because I still got brothers and sisters that are not saved. Why hasn't he come? Because I know the lady down the street is not saved. She showed me this morning. You guys are wrong. Come on. What's holding him back? What's he waiting for? Why hasn't he come? You know, I'm this close from falling. I'm this close from falling apart. Why hasn't he come? I think the sooner he comes, the better. I know I'll make it. But he's got about 30 seconds. He's waiting. He's waiting till the right time, till everyone is saved, till everyone says and has a knowledge of him. And those that reject him, well, man, we just got to pray. But those that will accept, man, we're going to be partying. And I mean in a good way. Look at Revelation 19. It says, after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. Because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication. And he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia, her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you, his servants, and those who fear him, small and great. And I heard it, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, as the sound of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed with in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let me say that again. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. As he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Why was the Passover meal instituted? It was a meal given to remember what the Lord had done. All those years of observing it, they were to recall how the blood of the Lamb protected them. Jesus showed us in person, fulfilling the picture that he was the Lamb. And that day in the marriage supper of the Lamb, we will see our Lamb, our perfect sinless Savior, face to face. And we will worship him as we remember the sacrifice that he made for us. I can't wait to sit in front of him. I can't wait. I got so many questions. I think the first one would be, why me? Did you not see me? Did you not know me? Why me? What did I do? I can't wait for the answer, because I still can't figure it out. Jesus said, with the great desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you, because I won't be eating it. I won't be eating another one until the day of the marriage supper. Have you ever gone to a party? Yeah, y'all know what's coming, right? Have you ever gone to a party and they serve the bomb mole? Nobody like mole in here? I love mole. I love mole. Sorry, if you don't love mole, you won't understand this. But they give you the bomb mole. And you stop and you think, oh my God. Mom, I'm sorry, but this burned you, eh? And you stop and think, you know what? I'm never going to eat this again. Until that big party. Until the big party. It's a great, great feast. But it's not even about the mole. It's about sitting in front of your Savior. It's about sitting there and letting him know you. And you knowing him. Because we say we know. We say we know. We say that we're right there. I know, oh man, I know Christ. You know, I know Kobe Bryant. Let me tell you, I know Kobe Bryant. At one time I met him. I was installing a floor in El Segundo in the locker rooms, and I got a chance to meet him. I got a chance to meet Shaq. I know them, but they don't know me. You know what I mean? And we can be a lot like that. I know Christ. I've heard of him. And does he know you? Well, you know, one time I talked to him. We're in that same place. We're exactly in that same place. Kobe was a gentleman. Shaq was a big guy. Yet they still don't know me, and I can still remember them. You know what I mean? Here's another thing. Because he wanted to spend these last moments of intimacy with his friends. A lot of you won't understand this, but I've been in and out of jail my whole life. I guess you can't understand that, but you know, sometimes you meet people in there, and you have you build a great relationship with them. You know, you're stuck with them 23 hours a day. And you get to build relationships with people, and you've seen them year after year. But the time is going to come when one day, I got to go home. Look, man, take care of yourself. Don't come back. I don't want to see you. What's the big one? Don't come back, is it? I don't want to see you no more. I love you, homie, but I better not see you. You know? You build relationships. Jesus walked with his disciples for 3 years. He taught them. He shared with them. He cried with them. He allowed them to see what was inside. But the time has come where he has to depart. You know what? Come on. Anybody have that last meal? That last sopa with bread? Those little soups? Come on. Anybody? Yeah, I know. And they said, you say your goodbyes, I'll see you, man. You stay strong, all right? I'll send you some money. Come on, that was a big one. Come on. I'll put it in your books, once for real. In just a few short hours, an angry mob would come to the garden where he would be praying. They would be led by one of his friends, his disciple, Judas Iscariot. He would be arrested, falsely trialed, mocked, beaten, spat upon, whipped, abandoned, and hung on a cross to bear a wrath of God, a wrath that he did not deserve. He took upon himself every sin of man and woman, born and unborn. He would experience separation from God, and then he would die. He knew that even while he shared his heart with these men, even while he was preparing to die for them, they would be arguing about who would be greater in the kingdom. Lord, Lord, tell him that I'm going to be greater than him. Lord, who's going to be greater? Tell the truth. Look how he acts. Right? Lord, come on, you know him. Me and you, Lord. Me and you. Right? He was about ready to die for them, and they couldn't get it. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't grasp it. Sometimes we walk around like that as Christians, as believers, as students of the Bible. We walk around like we don't know him. We don't catch it. Lord, why won't they let me do anything at church? I don't understand. Listen to my beautiful voice. I should be up there singing. That's what I told her when I wanted to come up. We lose grip of what we are doing, what we're supposed to be doing. We've lost control of ourselves. We lost control of ourselves. And we gave it up to the devil. We've allowed him to whisper in your ear. They don't want to use you. You ain't nobody. Why is it? Why is that? Little do we know that God is using us so much. We just don't seem to understand how. We want more. Just hours from the cross, Jesus' disciples couldn't catch it. He comes to them in the midst of all these events and says to them, "Guys, I just want to spend my last moments with you before I suffer." He's still madly in love with these guys. Still madly in love with you and me. Even though we mess up on a daily basis. For some of us, every hour. You know? And yet, he still says, "Don't worry, man. You know, I got this." Desire to follow me. Make that heart want to follow me. Make that heart want to get closer to me. Allow me to whisper into your ear. Allow me to talk to you. Let me say something to you. Just be quiet for a moment and hear me out. And what do? Lord. Exactly. Do you see the love he had for these men? He desired to eat the Passover with them, that he and they may have a little time together before he suffered. So you might be sitting there thinking, "Okay, bro, I see all of that. I know at least two reasons why Jesus wanted to be there." So the big question is, so what? So what? I ask myself hard questions because that's the only way I'm going to get things done. I hope you might be asking the same question because it leads us to the second question. What does any of this have to do with you? Man, it got quiet. There's no Passover meal today. We're not sacrificing a lamb. It's just another Thursday night and we're observing the Lord's Supper today. So what? What does any of this have to do with me? Or maybe more importantly, how does any of this affect me? Well, I think it ought to affect us a number of ways. Here's one way. Partaking of the Lord's Supper should remind you of what Jesus has done for you. How many of you remember that? How many of you remember what he's done for you? Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we just don't want to show up here. We don't want to come in. We've completely forgotten everything that he's done for us. You can see the empty seats. I don't have to tell you. I don't have to tell you. And those that are going to listen to this recording later on, they'll be mad at me. God bless them. God bless them. We're not here for a free meal. We're not here out of guilt. We're not here to play religion or church. We're here to remember that Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven to walk a mile in your shoes, to walk a mile in my shoes. To show you that he could force his physical and earthly body into submission to the Father. To show you that it could be done. It could be done. Even unto death. He was obedient even unto death. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How about this? Partaking of the Lord's Supper should remind you of the higher calling in your life. See, we want to sit back and think, you know, hey, as long as I'm out of church, I'm good. And we walk around and we get to work. "What's up, fool? Hey, dog, what's up, dog? Man, you should have seen me this weekend." Not on Sunday. On Sunday is the Lord's Day. What are we doing? You have been called to something higher. You have been called. You got a calling on your life. God said, I want to use you for something. But we push it away. We push it away and we say to ourselves, no, I'll be fine. As long as everybody else don't know about it, we'll be fine. We blow it, folks. We blow it. Jesus didn't come to just to show compassion to a compassionate love to everyone. His purpose was not to heal people or to shelter the homeless. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he has left us with the same purpose. He left us with the same purpose. We have a calling on our lives. Matthew 28, 19 says, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Teaching them. Listen, when we come to the table and reflect on the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for our sins, we need to be reminded that he didn't just die for our sins, but he died for the sins of everyone out there. It wasn't just for you and me. It wasn't just for those that come into this building. It's for everybody that's out there. It's for everybody that's out there. The Lord's Supper ought to remind us that church is about more than hearing some sermon and going home feeling good. We've been given a higher calling. We've been called out of the mundane to a heavenly, eternal purpose. And coming to the table should remind you of that. When you come to the table, it should remind you that you have a calling in your life. Maybe you can't reach everyone. Maybe you can't. But can you reach your neighbor? Can you reach your loved one? Can you reach your son, your daughter? We have a calling on our lives, folks. How about this? Partaking of the Lord's Supper should provide a reason for great hope and praise to flow from our hearts. People everywhere are living in defeat. We have become a complaining, negative, fault-finding people. But the Lord's Supper ought to lift our thoughts much higher than that. We got to stop finding those little things that just bug us. And when you find it, if you see something you don't like, pray about it. Pray about it. Enough of this. Oh my God, you see what he's doing? Enough of it, folks. Come on. We're not in this world. We got to live here. But we're not part of this world. Enough of those little complaints for everything. You know, I was sharing with the man at the breakfast. The Israelites walked around that mountain for 40 years. And the first generation was a generation that complained for everything. I don't know what they were eating in Egypt, but it sure wasn't good. I can tell you that. You know, come on, what's it say? Leeks? What's a leek? What? Look, look, man. All they did was complain. Everywhere they went, God gave them meat. They complained about the meat. God gave them bread from heaven, manna from heaven, something we'll never get to see until we get up there. And they complained. God gave them water. They complained. Oh, it's sour. God gave them bread. And they complained. We want to go back to Egypt. We had liver and onions. But it was until the next generation came around. It was until that point where that next generation finally said, you know what? Enough of complaining. You know what? We're thirsty. I'm going to praise God for that. I'm going to praise God that I'm thirsty. I'm still alive. It tells me that I'm still going. I'm going to praise him. And what happened? God said, that's enough of going around that mountain. It's enough of that. Let's go. Finally, a generation that's going to appreciate what I'm doing for them. Finally, a people that is going to come forth and pour their heart out and say, you know what? Praises to you, my Lord God. I'm falling apart, but praise to you. Amen. Folks, enough of the complaining. Enough of it. We are grown people. We are grown men and women. I think we've had enough. When we remember the Lord's sacrifice, we ought to also remember that it didn't end on the cross. It didn't end in the tomb. Up from the grave he rose with a mighty triumph over his enemies. The marriage supper of the Lamb that Jesus referred to and that John wrote about should communicate to us that one day we are going to see our Savior face to face. It'll be a great cause for celebration and praise, my brothers and sisters. I think we should have. Yeah, I think we should. Come on. A little. I don't mean to coach you guys on. I don't mean to coach you guys on, but come on. Let's give them praise. The beautiful thing about that is that you don't have to wait till that day to praise Him. It starts today. It can start today. We don't have to wait until we die to say, Lord, that's you. I'm going to praise you. No. We can do it today. We can do it today. Partaking of the Lord's Supper should provide you opportunity to examine your life. When you come before the Lord and are present with the unleavened bread, you should be reminded of the sinlessness. Is that a word? Sinlessness? I thought I invented that one. You should be reminded of the sinlessness of your Savior. He is the Holy God. If your heart and mind are in the right place today, then you cannot partake of these elements without knowing that, without rejoicing in that, without your heart jumping. I can imagine what it was like when Mary came before Elizabeth and the baby jumped. Boom. Ooh. Is that Jesus? All in the stomach. Is that Jesus? You know, I could just imagine how that was. I could just imagine. I could just sense it. What's it going to be like? What's it going to be like? Understand that He is the Holy God. If your heart and mind are in the right place today, then you can partake of these elements without seeing something of the Lord's holiness. If your heart's not right, then, you know, I mean, what can I tell you? What are you going to see? What are you going to find? Is it just going to be another Thursday night? Just another night where we partake a communion? They give me a cracker and a juice. I like it. Folks. The Lord's perfection only brings out our imperfections. The Lord's brightness illuminates the darkness, the darkest areas of our lives. He calls you to today to bring those areas of your life where you are struggling with submission to Him and to the light of His glory and surrender those things to Him. Sometimes there's things inside of us that, you know, we're troubled by. Come on. Sometimes I get upset. My mouth goes off. I say things that I shouldn't. I make people feel bad. Sometimes I mess up. I mess up. There's struggles in my life. I'm sure you got your struggles. I'm not going to call you out on those. I'm just kidding. But if you can't realize that you have those struggles, if you can't bring them to the altar and say, hey, Lord, come on, man. I'm trying my hardest to give these things up. And it just seems that I can't. I keep falling over the same thing. I keep tripping over the same rock. Why? Bring them to Him. I understand. Hey, I fall. I get it. But bring it to Him. Because it means nothing if you have an understanding of it. It means nothing if, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. Huh? What good is that? What good is that? It ain't no good if you can't come forth and repent from it. If you can't come forth and bring it to Him and say, help me with this. Strengthen me. Strengthen me because I'm struggling. You did it. Strengthen me. Listen, if Jesus was so willing to be obedient to the Father in light of his coming suffering, if he delighted to even do this part of the will of God, can we be or do anything less and then justify it? I don't think we have a place to speak there. He knew exactly who I was going to be. He knew exactly how I was going to grow up. He knew exactly all the people that I kicked out of my house for bringing that Bible around. He knew the things that I would throw at them. He knew exactly when the first Cholo church came around my house. I said, man, you got 3 seconds to get away from me or I'm going to take you into the backyard. He knew exactly who I was going to be. He knew everything I would say. He knew exactly what I would pull out. And yet he died for me. He died for me. Do I have any room to say, Lord, it is what it is. I'm just walking my life. There's no room for it, folks. There's no room for it. And we have to bring that message to a dying world. We have to be able to tell our loved ones. We all have that nephew, that brother, that uncle that only we can talk to. That's where we need to be. That's where we need to be. Partaking of the Lord's Supper should remind you of the Lord's great desire for intimacy. Tony, if you want to start passing that up, please, sir. Listen, when we come to the table, it is as though the Lord Jesus Christ comes walking into the garden of our hearts and he calls out, Ricardo, where are you? The same call goes out to each and every one of you today as the Lord expresses his desire for more spiritual union with him. You see, the Lord says to everyone who comes to his table, I want to be with you. I will be your God. I will take up residence right here and let's commune for a while. Thank you, son. The real tragedy today is that we have Christians who recognize their union with Christ but have no communion with Christ. Listen, in salvation there was made a union. But the union alone is not the end of God's plan in your life. It's not the end. He placed a purpose in you. There's more for you to do. If it was all over, then you'd go home. Right? If it was all done, if you were done, you'd go home. But it's not over. There's a destiny for you to fulfill. There's something that you have to do. Jesus longs for fellowship. He said, with great desire, I have desired to eat with you. Any deviation from a desire to know and be intimate with him is to fail to see your purpose for living. And the Lord's Supper calls us back to the relationship, that grand intimacy. He calls us back. When we partake, he calls us right back to the table and he says, man, I just want to spend some time with you. Nothing more. Nothing more. Just give me your heart. That's all I want from you. We try to woo him with, look at what I'm doing. I'm feeding the homeless. All for you, Lord. I'm outreaching. I'm sharing the gospel, Lord. All for you. I got 3 Bible studies going. All for you, Lord. Well, where's your heart? Where's your heart? We can find ourselves very tangled up in all the work. In all the work. We can find ourselves lost in that. We've lost the intimacy. We've lost that spot where we say, Lord, I love you. I truly love you. Look, tonight, don't let this be the same thing. Don't let it be just another Thursday. Think, 2,000 years ago. He came forth. He spent some time with his disciples before he suffered. Why? So that I can have a relationship with him. Folks, don't cut yourself short. There's more for you. There's more for you. The Lord is calling you today to make of his supper more than just a religious practice. It's more than just a monthly observance that makes us feel all warm and tingly inside. It's the same. It is a time of intimate communion with our Lord and Savior. When he speaks to the needs of our lives and invites us to give our lives to him in pursuit of a higher calling, he's calling us for something greater. The Bible says that he separated you. He's made you a special person. Folks, let's just begin to act that way. Why don't we stand tonight? In that same verse that we were reading, he tells the disciples, man, I've been longing for this. I've been longing to break bread with you guys. I've been longing to have this supper with you. And he says, this one's a special one. This one's a special one. Why? Because I'm not going to eat of this again until the big marriage supper of the Lamb. Until I marry you. Until I take on my bride, the church. I won't have this again. This is special. I'm not going to do it again until we meet once again. It should be that special for you. The Bible says to do it in remembrance of him. What exactly are you remembering? Are you remembering that Jesus, yeah, he's the guy that hangs out at the church where all those crazy people go? Or are you remembering that he took on everything that you had, everything that you dished out, he took on. And he did it because he still wanted a relationship with you. He did it because he still loved you. He loved you so much that he was willing to take all of that on. I don't know about you, but it's killing me to think. It's killing me to think that he would take on all of that stuff for me, and yet I can still be such a disaster. We need to think before we take this. In verse 17, he says, Verse 18, he says, For I say to you, I will not drink. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, 19, it says, and he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So tonight, as we remember, as we partake, remember all the stuff that he's done for us. And don't sell yourself short. Go ahead and partake. And he also took the cup and he gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it amongst yourself, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come. Go ahead and partake of it. Folks, this isn't something that we should take lightly. Oh, this isn't something we should take lightly. This isn't something that we should just, well, it's just another Thursday night. I just went to visit a friend. I went to support my brother. No. God called you out for a reason. God called you out for a reason. Yeah, it's just our Thursday night. But it's got to be more than that. It's got to be more than that. God called you out because he desired to sup with you tonight. He desired to be with you tonight. And tonight, we have to open our eyes to what he's doing. Let me pray.